group that promotes ethnic music in Waterloo Region has announced a series of productions set to take place in the fall. Organizer Maji Bumatar tells 570 News it's a combined effort of Naruda Arts and MT Space.
Comprised of two festivals, over 70 performances, seven additional events, music and theater series, and where over 200 culturally diverse artists.
The performances will take place at a number of venues throughout downtown Kitchener in late September. Tickets and information can be found at weareculture.ca. News is next at 11 with Becca Stone. I'm Glenn Peltier, 570 News.
We now return to the Gary Doyle Show on 570 News. News, talk, sports.
It is 10:35. Just motoring along here on a Wednesday. I got asked again in the hall, you know, did you have a good holiday? Well, here's the thing about holidays. I did have a good time. But they all end abruptly. We know they're going to end. But then when those thoughts of the office start to creep back in your head, boom, they end abruptly. So, hey, I'm back to work. There's a lot of wisdom in this next study that we've seen. Well, there's just so much to go over. I want to talk, and I don't say this lightly, I want to talk about palliative care. Maybe an odd topic for a lot of people, but the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada says, first of all, it's economically, it's a lot cheaper, palliative care for the dying than it is, not just emotionally, but if your loved one is in an intensive care unit in a hospital or just in a hospital, it's more expensive. There's a lot more stress. Palliative care seems to be more of an ushering. But in recent years, about four times as many patients in this province died in intensive care, and over 10 times as many patients died in acute care than in palliative care. So you got to ask the question, if palliative care is so good, why isn't it available more readily? Why aren't there more people that are in a position to take part of this? Well, this e-review is based on a study by Derek Miedema called Why Canada Needs More Palliative Care. Derek takes time to join us again. It's been a while. How you been?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Good to get you back on the show.
Oh, good to be back.
We got to find happier topics, though, Derek.
Yeah.
This is just one. And maybe the closer you get to the finish line, the more you pay attention to things like palliative care. But I got to ask the question, if it's cheaper and it seems to be, like I say, a gentler, particularly on families, then why isn't this just everywhere? Why isn't palliative care available everywhere?
Well, I think part of the reason is palliative care is relatively new, and palliative care is still a part of the medical system that isn't universally recognized. In some sense, it's still struggling for recognition. In some sense, also, it's poorly understood. I think for those in the medical community, for example, who've been trained to cure and to see medicine as wanting to heal and cure people, if they see death as a failure, then how do we make room for palliative care? Palliative care exists for people who are at the end of their life and realize that there's nothing they can really do to be cured or healed. Then they can have comfort care, pain control, spiritual, physical, mental care that will allow them to die in comfort.
Is palliative care, does that equal hospice? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, hospice is something slightly different. Palliative care, what I'm talking about in this report, is palliative care offered in the context of a hospital. So this would actually be a palliative care ward,
right,
as distinct from an acute care or an intensive care ward. Hospice, as I understand it, is more carried out in community-based organizations. And I couldn't crunch the numbers for community-based hospices, although I know they are even less expensive than palliative care in hospital. But there are similarities, but they're also slightly different in terms of where they're offered.
Well, I know, and I brought that up because I have a friend who volunteers at a hospice, and I told her once I didn't think I would be able to do that. Like, that's just something emotionally I don't think I'm equipped for. And she said it's an honor. So there is that, you know what I mean? There's that attitude already in our communities that we want to help. And if you want to help strangers, why wouldn't we want this for family members?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, there's a movement going on in Canada in the palliative care field to push for expansion. Part of the issue is that it's going to cost money to start up, and that it's really hard, especially now, for governments, for municipal governments to be able to fund a community hospice, but for provincial and federal governments to be able to fund palliative care in hospitals, it involves startup costs, and that's very hard to come up with in the current situation. But the reality is, as you've mentioned, that palliative care, to die in a palliative care unit, is much less expensive than to die in an acute care unit or in intensive care. And it's also better care. So this is an argument, you know, I attached numbers to this study, particularly so that those who are in a position to fund this expansion can say, hey, wait a minute, if we push the numbers out to 2036, and if we had 36% of people who are now dying in, if we had 36% of dying patients in Ontario die in palliative care, we could save $2.1 billion. So I hope this catches the attention of decision makers on the basis of the dollars, but I also want to make clear that it's also on the basis of better care for those who are dying.
You know what? It saddens me to a point that we have to attach a dollar system to doing the right thing. But in a lot of, particularly today's economy, you have to do that. You have to be able to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is the right thing, it saves us money. So now we're running out of reasons to not do this, Derek.
I would say we are. It's still a big challenge. It's still going to take a lot of efforts and a lot of pushing, because it's one case of government funding. As I mentioned, it's also a little bit of resistance in the medical community in general. But I think it's also misunderstood in the population at large. We don't talk about it a lot, and I understand that. It's not an issue, you know, dying is not an issue that's at the front of a person's mind a lot, and perhaps it shouldn't be. But this is something we need to discuss, and it's basically this. If you want to ensure that in your last moments, not you, Gary, but in people in general, if we want to ensure that in our last moments, if we're struggling with cancer and we're racked with pain, if we would rather be comfortable, and if we'd rather be able to be with our family, and if we'd rather be able to be cared for spiritually, emotionally, and physically, then we need to push for palliative care. Because the reality is that as the baby boomers grow old and reach their 80s and so on, we're going to be facing an increasing number of people dying. And we really need to do better in terms of looking after people in their last days than even we are today.
Hey, within 15 years, when the first wave of the baby boomers hits 80, I'll be in my 70s. So I got to, you know, like this is of paramount interest to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think we have to take a look at it from that perspective too, because in 15 years, when the first wave of the boomers are in their 80s, this potentially is going to be a major issue.
Well, it is. It is potentially going to be a major issue. I'd say it's already a major issue now when we consider that the best estimates the best estimates have that a maximum of 30% of people who need palliative care can get it today. So we're already falling short. It's critical even that we need more today, let alone in the future. But these savings ramp up to $2.1 billion between now and 2036 on the basis of the fact that the baby boomers are getting older. So now is a chance, if we can invest today, we can reap savings in the future on top of providing better care for people as they die.
Gotcha. Derek Miedema, always good to get your perspective. Thanks for this.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Derek Miedema is the research director at the Institute for Marriage and Family Canada. His study is linked from our show page if you want to read more about it. There's a difference between hospice and palliative care. They both offer the same thing. Palliative care basically is a part of a hospital. Hospice is more of a gentler setting, non-institutional. But look at the cost savings. And I hate to be so clinical about it, but Derek brought it up. If the number of Ontarians dying in palliative care remains constant, The province could save $2.1 billion between now and 2036. So if we improve on it, we also improve on the savings. If it makes this level of sense, would you support an expansion of palliative care in hospitals and hospice? Like I said, I've got a friend who volunteers at hospice, and God bless her. I don't think I could do that.